I want to ask you to just lift your hands this morning and worship the Father. Tell Him how great He is. Tell Him how present He is. Tell Him how much you love Him. We love you, Father. Jesus, Jesus, we love you, Lord. We worship you, God of heaven and earth. And we stand between heaven and earth today. Our hearts and our minds changed, transformed. Filled with your word, filled with your love, filled with your presence. Baptize this place, baptize these people, Father, in your presence. Your praise, my God, we pray. Be glorified, Holy Father. Be glorified, God, of all that is and was and everything that is to come, Lord. Present with us here and now. And we worship you. And we thank you. We stand affirm that God is with us. The Lord is our shepherd. I want you to pray that with me. Make it a prophetic declaration. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. You make me lie down in green pastures. You lead me beside the still waters. You are the restorer of my soul. You lead me in the paths of righteousness for your name's sake. Even if I walk through the valleys of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. I will fear no evil because you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me. Come on, you prepare a table before me. In the presence of my enemies, my cup runs over. You anoint my head with oil. Say surely, absolutely, affirmatively, only your goodness and your mercy will pursue me, keep me, guide me, cover me, fill me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in your presence, in your tabernacle, forever, in Jesus' name. If you believe that, give the Lord a shout. You can take your seats this morning. You know, we live in a world that people have lived in before us for a long, long time. And we live in a different world today than people lived in 1,000 years ago, 500 years ago. We live in a different world. There's been a lot of prophecy that has come to pass since before Christ, during Christ, and after Christ. A lot of prophecy has been fulfilled. And I want you to say, prophecy has been fulfilled. We read about in Isaiah, we read about the kings, we read about the prophets, we read about their prophecy. And in Revelations, the scriptures say that the revelation of who Christ is, the revelation of Jesus Christ, that is the spirit of prophecy. The revelation of Jesus Christ, that is the spirit of prophecy. I think it's important you hear it again. The revelation of Jesus Christ is the spirit of prophecy. Revelation means something revealed. Not something that you knew, but something that you didn't know. Something that you weren't aware of. Or a depth to something that you were acquainted with. So the revelation of Jesus Christ is the spirit of prophecy. And that's really, really important to understand that what the scriptures are saying is Christ revealed in you is prophecy. And what is prophecy? What is prophecy about? It's foretelling the will of the Father in a clear, concise, coherent way so we can understand it and so it can take us into that time. We have known Christ for the Lord that He was. We have known Him for the Lord of all that He did. But in the day of Jesus, there were people that knew Him for the Lord that He is. To them in the day, Peter knew Him for the Lord He is. We really have to rethink about how we tell the story. There are some narratives that need some editing in our day. Because things have to take place differently than they've been taking place. Jesus, God, in the Old Testament, God said, I want to do a new thing. In the New Testament, Jesus said, I want to show you things. I want to tell you things. I want you to know some things so you can apply your faith to them that you couldn't understand right now if I were to tell you about them. You couldn't understand them right now. If I were to tell you today what I want to tell you, you wouldn't understand. And it isn't, some might say, well, it's because it takes a process of time to get there. And I understand the process of time. I understand a seed being planted in the earth. God knows that, and it begins to transform. But every moment of that seed is not a process in the way that you think. It's a progress. Meaning the moment that it's planted into the ground, that's progress, not a process. And again, the problem with process is we have to retell this story. We have to change the narrative, not the heart of the message. For the Word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. You have to keep the message. You have to keep the Word. And the revelation is Jesus Christ. But we have to rethink about how we have been telling the story for us. We have to rethink about what it is to walk in power and what kind of power that is and what does that power do. Jesus came in the flesh, the Word tells us fairly clearly. He spoke the Word of God. He was born of a virgin. He spoke to a young girl by the name of Mary. And said, this is what I'm going to do. The Holy Spirit's going to come on you. You're going to bear a seed. He's going to be called Wonderful. He's going to be Mighty. And she said in her mind, in her carnal, in her natural mind, this doesn't make sense to me. I don't understand how this could happen since I've never been with anyone. I am a virgin. Thus the Virgin Mary. But the angel of the Lord with a word from God said, but I'm about to edit this for you just a little bit. I know how it works. I know how it goes. I know how the stories are told. A man and a woman, they meet, they get married, and they bear a child. But there's a change. There's an edit to this version. There's an edit. God loves to do new things. He loves to edit. He loves to do things differently. He loves to make things happen that He knows you need. God knows. Jesus made it clear. He said, listen, I'm living in a world that has a lot of trouble, just like we do today. I know the world. Jesus said, I understand what you have need of. But I want you to know, Jesus said, I want you to know I know what you have need of. But I want you to consider the lilies of the valleys. They don't work. They don't toil. They don't spin. And yet, your Heavenly Father clothes them. And you know, I got to thinking about the flowers, the lilies of the valley. And you know what they don't do? They don't resist the power of transformation. They just don't fight. We're told in the Word not to resist the Holy Spirit. So God knows what we have need of. Let's say it like a congregation. God knows what I have need of. That's the Word of God. He knows. And He said, and I don't want you to worry about what you need. I want you to know that I know and that I'm there to take you in my hand, to keep you, to carry you, to cover you, to watch over you, to protect you, to surround you. But we have to rethink today about how we communicate this story. We have to rethink. It's called revelation to the present day. Jesus came and He said something pretty profound. He said, I have come here today in this time, the appointed time, to fulfill the word of the Father, to fulfill the word of prophecy, to fulfill the words of the prophets. I have come here to fulfill the words of prophecy. There are people today that still struggle physically, emotionally, mentally, psychologically, in their relationships, marriages, families. We have to tell the story in a way that Jesus did in His day. Jesus said, this is my time. He said, I am here to fulfill the word of my time. I'm here to fulfill the words that were prophesied to present date. I'm here to fulfill the will and the word of the Father. That's where we actually get our name, Prophetic Fulfillment Church. Why are we here? To fulfill the word of God. What do you mean? To walk in and believe true what God said He meant, and He meant what He said, and He's bringing it to pass. He's bringing it to pass. Go ahead and say it. God's bringing it to pass. Everything He said is bringing it to pass. He even says, the Word says, the secret things, things you don't know about, they belong to God. Those things belong to the Father. But the things you don't know, it's His, okay? But the things that He reveals to you, those things belong to you and to your seed. In other words, you'll bear witness. You'll be a witness. You'll bear testimony to what God has done in you, to who Christ is in you. And so the power of testimony is an important aspect of the body of Christ. It's important what we testify to. But we have to rethink about how we tell the story that we know. Because the Word said, Jesus said, I'm going, I'm leaving you in this form. He said, but I'm returning to you in the power of the Holy Spirit. And when I return to you by the Holy Spirit, He said, you're going to receive power and you're going to bear witness of who I am. That's the point. You're going to bear witness of who I am, not just who I was. We know Him for who He was. We know Him as the Lord that was born of a virgin. Mary believed the Word of God. Didn't make sense, but she had a revelation. And her revelation came about by just saying, be it unto me, Lord, according to your Word. Doesn't make a lot of sense. Can't say that I can wrap my mind around it. I can't tell you why it happened this way. I don't know why you chose me. I just don't know. But according to your word, she said, be it unto your servant. So, in other words, let it happen to me because you said so. Word of God. God said it, and it just happens, right? Well, not necessarily. God said it, and when who He said it to believes what He said, then He does it through the vessel to whom He's spoken the word. That's why He speaks, or He would just do it without telling anybody anything. God said, I will to do a new thing. And He said, but before I do it, I'm going to tell you about it. Why? Because you are the vessel through whom, you're the body through whom I will bring it to pass. You're who I want. I'm looking. God is looking for something in what He created. You are what and who He created. He's looking for something in what He has created. He made it pretty clear when He said the kingdom of heaven is like a man that found a pearl in a field. That's what the kingdom of heaven is like. Someone was looking for something. You may not know where it is. You may not know what it is. You may not know how it'll happen. But I'll tell you one thing. Your faith will find it out. But there's something about the way we're telling the story that isn't working to bring about the transformation that has to happen. There's just something about the story. And the question is do we have the power to edit some of the narrative that we've been taught, because something needs to change? So you get to walk in your healing. You get to walk in your peace. You get to walk in your joy. You get to walk in the fullness of God. You get to walk in whatever it is God wants you to walk in. Jesus was stripped of everything in order to fulfill everything. And the Word said, and it pleased God, what God did with Christ, in Christ, and through Christ, it pleased the Father. It pleased Him. It pleased Him. You are here today in a time where scriptures have been fulfilled that weren't fulfilled in the book we read. So Jesus said, I have many things to say to you. Back then, He said, but if I told you then, you wouldn't believe it. But the question is can we hear it now? Can we hear it now? He said, when the Holy Spirit comes, He will guide you into all truth. He will reveal the deep things of the Father. But there's something incredibly important about all those scriptures and about everything you would like to see God do in and through your life. You have to believe it here and now, just like they did then and there. Have to believe it here and now, today, in your day, just like they did in their day, then and there. We have to believe it here and now. Right here. If we continue to believe for what is already here as though it is coming, we will be as they were when Jesus walked about and many of them weren't healed, the Word says, because of their unbelief. It was there. He was there in their time, but it didn't happen to them. He being there, and He said, I spoke to them. He said, I came to you, but He said, your heart was hardened. You couldn't hear me. So you couldn't be healed. You couldn't be set free. You couldn't walk in the power. Religion, what is religion? Religion is man's idea of working it out with God at a distance. I'm getting there. This is what I talk about when I say I don't like the term, it's a process. This is why. Jesus, I'm not there yet, but I'm getting there. That's a lot of pressure on us, because that says it's up to you. The idea is there's a pressure put on me. I've got to get there. So it's not about me receiving. It's not about me believing Him. It's about something that I need to do in order. I'm not there, but I'm working my way back to you, babe. It needs to be God. I believe that's... Caleb did something that no one else was able to do out of a million plus people. He was able to go someplace because he believed, and he believed differently. He told the story. He thought about the story, the narrative, just a little bit different. And this is what he said. He said, I just believe the Word of God. He said, we can go today. I know y'all say we can't. I know you're looking at everybody saying it's impossible. They're too big, too many. We're too weak, too little, too afraid, too unskilled. And that wall's too high. This is not a chance. We're going to go into the land of Canaan. We can't do it. Have you looked at them? Have you seen them? One man, two men, Caleb and Joshua. But Caleb said, he says this, he said, I just believe the word of the Lord. I believe the word of the prophet. So we can go up right here. Today is our day. Today, right here, right now. I know I know I say all the time, this is the greatest season of your life. Do you understand what it is? It is the revelation of Jesus Christ to me. It is the word of prophecy that builds a foundation so we stop waiting for something that's coming, the process of time. And then the question is when does the process ever end? And where am I in the process? Am I a quarter of the way, half the way? That's discouraging. That's a lot of pressure on me. I don't know. And then doubt comes in. You know, people talk about, we don't do it much here, people talk a lot about the devil, what he's doing, what he wants to do, and the term enemy, the enemy. When the enemy comes in, when the enemy attacks, so much preparation for the enemy in the present day. He is expected today to do all that he is capable of doing. He is expected today. What about Jesus? And I'll tell you the real enemy. The one God identified as the real enemy. For the carnal mind is not subject to the laws of God. It is an enemy of God. Neither indeed can it be. Not going to make sense, Mary, but God said, so be it unto me according to your word, Lord. Be it unto me. But we want Jesus to pour out into us, but we don't like to be poured out. We don't like to pour until we're empty. We just don't like to do it. Now we question God. When? Why? How? You know, I gave all, I did all, I said all, I preached all. Why? And God's saying, you should count it an honor that I allowed you to pour out in my name. That's what we should consider. What an honor to me that I'm able to pour out who I am in the name of the Lord. And guess what God said? As long as you keep pouring, I'll keep pouring in. It will keep coming. You will continue to pour. Go find another vessel. Go do it again. Find something. Pour it in. Pour, and you will have more. Why? Because your faith will find a way. But we have to rethink how we tell the story. And we're telling the story based on what we believe, and we're believing based on what we are or are not experiencing. I'm not seeing this, or I am seeing that. Why? Your faith is the word. The word says it like this. This is the only victory. It doesn't say the word only, but I'm saying it because that's what it's saying. This is the only victory that overcomes the entire world. What does that mean? Everything and anything that you could imagine and everything you could not imagine. This is the victory that overcomes the world you live in today, your faith. So the question is what does your faith say? What does your faith say about the world you live in today? What does your faith say? In our worship, in our songs, I love the worship today. I see a time prophetically where our worship has nothing to do with where we came from. It has everything to do with where we are. This is the day that God has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Take no thought for the morrow, for the morrow is sufficient for its own stuff. But take consideration of today. I will say of the Lord, this is the day God has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. Right here, right now. Amen. Sound a little bit like Prophet Gary Zamora? This is the greatest season of your life. Only good can happen to you. Yeah, but all this bad keeps coming. Jesus said, listen, I know what you're experiencing. What I'm telling you is what I want you to experience. This is what I want you to believe. I want to do a new thing, but you can't believe it. At least that's what your carnal mind tells you. You're worried about what the devil's trying to do. Forget him. Think about what your mind's trying to do to you. That's what's important. Casting down every thought and every vain imagination that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. That, my friends, is spiritual warfare. Casting down your thoughts and your imaginations that says anything like anybody or anything can get in between me and God. That is a lofty thought exalting itself against who Christ in you is. That's a problem. That's a devil. That's an issue. That's a battle.
But this is the victory. You have the word of God to tell the story in a different way. I see songs being sung that glorify God from start to finish. Jesus said, if you're going to follow me, deny yourself. I hear worship in the houses of God where we're not brought into the equation at all other than that we love Him and we worship Him and we praise Him and we thank Him for who He is and that He is present with us and how glorified He is and how wonderful He is and how holy He is and how powerful He is and how perfect His ways are and how wonderfully made He has made us to be in Him. There are times people need healed, times people need freed, times people need to go on. But what if your healing, what if your future isn't in where you came from or just what He did back then, but what He's doing now? What if you got so involved with who Christ in you is that you got healed without even asking for it? Just because you were walking in the fullness of who Christ in you is. What if our mouths stopped contradicting our revelation and we took dominion over the carnal mind and brought it into captivity, and then we were able to take dominion over the disobedience of the body, mind, and spirit over the world, as the Word of God actually says. Religion is a scary thing. It's a deceptive thing. It's a cunning thing. It's a serpent in the garden. It talks about man a great, great deal. If you will eat this, you will be, and you will, and you will, and I will, and they will, and we will. God said, I'm seeking true worshipers, not those that will their way, but those that will me. Like Jesus did, not my will, your will be done. That was the battle. That was the fit and finish right there. Your will be done in me. Jesus edited your story. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. How did He edit it? For the wages of sin is death. Every one of us deserved death, hell, and the grave. We deserved it. We worked hard for it. And we stayed consistent at it. Jesus said, we're going to edit that. That is the law, but we're going to edit. We're going to change some things. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him would not perish, would not pay for their sin, but would have everlasting life. Through whom? Jesus Christ our Lord. The revelation of Jesus Christ is the spirit of prophecy. Christ in you, the hope of glory. If you're going to follow me, you're going to have to deny yourself. Yeah, but if I deny myself, I'm not going to be happy. No, if you deny yourself, you'll find what happiness is. You'll find what joy is because you don't have the power to do it yourself, and you should have proven that to yourself by now. But the joy of God, the joy of the Lord, that's where my strength comes from. Walking in the favor and the privilege and the honor and the power, there is more healing to be had. There is more to be understood. It's in the power of understanding. And the church world keeps, you know, we just like Jesus to come back, just come get us out of trouble. Just come and get us out of here. He's not coming back because we're in trouble. He's coming back because He's delivered us from trouble. He's not coming back to set us free. He's coming back because He did set us free. He said, when I come back, and I think a little portion of the scriptures that a lot of people don't realize, He said, I'm coming to unite heaven and earth because earth is agreeing with heaven. Earth started to disagree with God and say, I don't care what happens. I don't care who did what, who didn't, who did get healed, who didn't get healed, who died, who lived. I just glorify God. And maybe God will raise the dead.
And maybe the sick will get healed, and maybe people will be set free that are trying to get set free when they stop worrying about their freedom and just think about His. He is the way, He is the truth, He is the life, and we just glorify God. Isn't that easy? Jesus said the kingdom of God is like a child. It's just not that hard. It's simple. The scriptures tell us, in John it says, this is the love of God. This is the love. This is how you love God. When you keep His word, His commandments, His statutes, His saying, not talking about the law of 10 commandments imposed, talking about the law of life within us. I'll write my law in their hearts and in their minds. I will inscribe them. And this is what it says. This is the love of God. Sounds a little different than religion. Serving God is so hard. That's religion. You know, it's a fight. It's a battle every day. We know we're sinning every day. We're falling, but God keeps picking us up. That is a carnal mindset. That is not the spiritual law of liberty. Whom the Son has made free is free indeed. The truth is who He is and how He was and how He is who we are. That's what He said. I in you. Now, you're not Christ. You're not God. You're not the Son of God. You're born of Christ. You're born of God. You're born of the Son of God. And He said, if my word abide in you and you abide in me, then when you pray, when you ask, when you declare that thing you pray, it will take place. It will come to pass. That's the word of God. And He said, this is it. He said, and when you believe, this is the love of the Father, that you keep my word and that it's not difficult for you. This is how you love me, and this is the love of God working in you. When you hear the word like Mary, and you just say, be it unto me according to your word, Lord. Be it unto me according to your word. Well, I can't figure it out, but your faith can find it out. I can't rationalize it in my thoughts, but your faith will explain it to you. Your faith will make all the sense that you need. So if our expectations are continually about what we're going to be delivered from, then we're going to have to be someplace, find ourselves in a place that we need deliverance. Congratulations, your faith got you there. He told you, according to your faith, be it unto you. And there you are, all unhappy and miserable. Now you need deliverance because that's what we believe. So we prayed for. Listen, God set me free. He delivered me from death, hell, and the grave. He set me free from just myself and has done such incredible things through my life. But there's a scripture here that just resounds in my mind, and I just can't help but think this is how God wants us to think. This is today. Where there are going to be wars and rumors of wars. The word tells us that. There will be wars and rumors of wars, and people are going to, they're going to die. They're going to cut their heads off, and they're going to be slaughtered for Christ. They are. They were, and it has happened. And let's give full honor due to those people to whom these things took place. They fulfilled the word of God. Give them that honor. Give them the honor that they fulfilled the word of God, and stop thinking everything that everyone else went through is your call. Give them the honor due them. James, John, Paul, give them the honor. People who you may have watched on television, lay down their life. Give them their honor and stop calling that your day. Live in the day God has given you. If we believe a little higher, will we climb a little higher? If we believe there's only one way, will the confusion of which way to go disappear? If we see what God allows us to see, secret things belong to God, but if God reveals it to you, can you accept the reality that it belongs to you and nothing else? No matter how much of yourself you have spent, thank God, pray to God that you'll continue to spend yourself that way. How great an honor. If you're going to follow me, you're going to have to deny yourself, lay down your life, and follow me. And all along the way, God's doing things you may not be aware of, but they are all counted for your crown.
They all mean something. They do something to your mind. They make you so you're not so sensitive to everything everyone says and thinks and feels about you. We could all use a little of that. You use a little of that? So we are actually genuinely happy when someone else is having a blessed time or enjoying the blessing of the Lord. We ponder on the goodness of God and the scripture that says, consider one another above yourself. Esteem one more highly than yourself. Because see, every time we adopt a nature of God by faith, we take on the mind of that nature. And the mind of God just makes you more intelligent. You're able to see beyond things you shouldn't be bothered about. Your emotions, your chemistry, the catalog of all the images of the past that just bothered you and irritated you and you had to get over and you were afraid of and you closed yourself up so like a flower so you couldn't be pollinated. All those things can fall away. When you take on the mind that Christ within me is the message. Not Christ beside me. Religion teaches us God at a distance. We're getting there. But you still need me, so keep coming because you're not there yet. But Jesus says, come to me all that labor and are heavy laden. I'll give you rest. I'm right here. Take my yoke on you. In other words, learn about me. I'm meek and lowly. It's easy. I'm easy. Just like the word says in John, it says, this is the love of God. This is when you know you've come to really love God. His commandments are not difficult. Isn't that the book? I like good news. I've heard bad, but I like good better. I like saying this is the greatest season of my life. I've had seasons that I could not consciously say, this is the greatest season of my life. But my faith says, brain, mind, carnal essence, shut up. Take a back seat. I'm in charge. Let's see if we can alter and edit these stories so you don't have so many of them. Maybe we can make them disappear. Maybe if you're going through one, you won't even know it. Maybe you could actually walk through the valley of the shadow of death and not be afraid, knowing God is with me. Maybe. You know, think about the miracles of Jesus. And what started, it's referred to as the first miracle, was when he was in Cana of Galilee. And his mother was there, and he and his disciples were there. Where was there? It was a wedding. They were invited to a wedding. So they came. Jesus is there with his disciples, so he must have liked weddings. I, on the other hand, am not. I love weddings. I love my wedding. And I thought, that's the one I go to. That's the one I should be really excited about. And Jesus turned the water into wine. There are about 6 jugs estimated at 20 to 30 gallons apiece, so somewhere 120 gallons plus worth of jugs, vessels that were used for ceremonial washing. And they ran out of wine. Jesus' mom said, they're out of wine. Jesus said, why are you bothering me with this? Why are you involving me? Now I know he said it respectfully, because he would have. But he said, woman, that's today, would be crude, different time. Times have changed. Woman, if I say to my wife, woman, she's going to leave the room. And I'm going to be standing there twiddling my thumbs going, what did I say? And with any common sense, if it ever comes into play, is say, you don't call your wife woman today. But back then it was okay. And he said, woman, why do you involve me in this? It is not my time. Jesus, it is not my time. You think there are things you can't change? You think, oh, it's not time?
I'm in the process, and I think I'm only about halfway there. Casting down every thought and every imagination that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bring that into captivity right here and right now, and say, God has given me dominion over time. I'm not given to time. What is it? Time is given to me. It is not my time. You know what she does? It was Mama's fault. First miracle, Mama did it. Mama's faith did it. She heard him. And then she said, I know he can do it. Do whatever he says. Walked away. Jesus said, I can't resist faith. I just can't do it. He said, it is not my time. She said, I know you can do it. My faith says you can. I believe in you. Walked away, and guess what he did? He turned 6 20-plus gallon jugs of water into wine. And the word says the banquet master, the guy that was in charge, funding everything, paying for the wedding, said, this is the best wine I've ever had. This is the best. He said, this is strange because they normally bring the best later or first, but this is the best last. It may feel like the last, but I'm telling you, this is the best. This is the time. This is the hour. This is the season. This is the moment. You can do it. You can do whatever it is, whenever it is, wherever it is, whatever it is that needs to change, whatever it needs to be done, you can do it. Listen. Listen to me. The word says that Jesus got in a boat, and I hear a lot more than you may normally hear. I hear Jesus saying this, let's get in the boat and go to the other side. Get in the boat and go to the other side. So that's what he and his disciples did. They got in the boat and they went to the other side. Went to the other side. And then the word says that Jesus fell asleep in the boat. And down inside, kind of the little inner quarters of the boat, he went down, he found a mat, fell asleep. And the reason he fell asleep was he's tired. And the word says that the waves came and the boat was filled with water and it started to sink. So they went down and ran to Jesus and they said, Lord, what are you doing? Don't you care? We're about to drown here. There's a storm and the boat is sinking. Jesus responds. Think about this. He gets up, he goes out and he says, why are you afraid? And he rebuked the winds and the sea calmed down. And he said, how is it you still have no faith? How is it we keep telling the same old story as though we're back there 2,000 years ago? Why don't we tell the story in current preview? Why don't we tell it today? Why do we keep rehearsing the sequel, the prequel? Why are we living in the prequel? Why don't we say, this is the day? We're in a movie one day, and this is a few years back, and we're watching one of the characters is a hero, and we're watching the movie, and at the end of the movie, they kill the character. Not an act, they kill the character. Character's dead. You know what it means when the character of a movie dies? No more. It's over. They didn't kill somebody, they killed the character, which is what the movie's about. Character's dead. He's gone. No more movie. It was a really sad ending. And my wife, it's just quiet in the theater. And all you hear is, ah. Oh. And my wife, and she didn't have headphones in or anything. She just abruptly and loudly said, it's all right. They'll make another one. And then I said, honey, everybody's sad right now. They can't, baby, they can't make another one. The character is dead. The only way we'll watch the character again is in a prequel. You're going to have to go back to before he died. And we're going to have to go back and watch what was before, not what is now. He's dead. The church lives in a prequel. We keep rehearsing where it was and what it was. I want to know. God wants to know. Heaven wants to know. What is it now? Yeah. You come a ways. Prophecy has been fulfilled. People have laid down their lives. The Antichrist has been walking all over the world for a long time. Jesus said the Spirit is here already. Done. Do you know how much of the Word of God has been fulfilled? We need to just reach up and pull on heaven and say, it's time to tell the story, to think the story differently than we've been doing for the last 2,000 years. Prophesy, he said, when I come back, people are going to be prophesying. Heaven and earth will unite. We've nothing left to wait for except the coming of our Lord and Savior. There's nothing else to be done except for the believing church to stand up and unite heaven and earth and say, your kingdom come, your will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Let's get this going. Let's move forward. Let's get this done. I got to thinking, people have edited the story all over the place. Jesus' mom edited the story. She said, it's not your time. Well, it is today. Son, I believe, do it. Jesus did it. He did it. It is not my time, but he did it. Jesus, it's not my time, but he did it. Why? Because mama said, I believe. Do you understand? Well, it's down there. No, Jesus said, according to your faith be it unto you. According to your faith be it unto you. Question is, how much faith are we willing to believe? No. We know God is what he can do for us. We know God that saved us. God be praised for saving us. We wouldn't be here. We wouldn't be doing this. We wouldn't even know. We know the God of grace. We know the God of mercy. We know the God that delivers you. But do you know the God of the present? Do you know the God of glory? The glory of God. See, when they finished the temple in the old, even in the Old Testament, when they finished the temple, then you know what the next step was? The glory of God filled it. Glory of God filled it so much at times they couldn't even go in until the glory of God lifted. And every day, the word says that they were there. Every day and every night, the cloud was shade, and then the cloud turned into fire. The glory of God was there. The glory of God was there. The glory of God needs to be in the house. But until we change how we talk and think about who we are and where we are, those times will remain the prequel of Christ. The way it used to be in the beginning, instead of the way it is and is to be. This is the day. This is the new season. This is the hour of the Lord. This is the hour where things are going to happen that wouldn't happen otherwise. Maybe what you need is in a different place than you've been believing for. Not in a geographical location, but a different place up here. I'm going to give God all the glory. I just see, I can prophetically see times changing, the interviews changing, things taking place that just hadn't taken place like this before. Jesus preached, Jesus taught, miracles happened, signs, wonders, but people were still hard-hearted and hard-headed in the church. And he just kept saying, why is it that, why do you doubt me? He said, and at one point he said, you're here, you believe me. He said, you're not gathered with me because you believe who I am. You're gathered here because you saw a miracle. You want me to prove to you again that your faith is validated in me. But I want you to know that I'm God with you. I want you to know that I am the Lord that has healed thee. I am the Lord that has raised you up. I am the Lord that has chosen you. I am God with you. Hezekiah, the prophet Isaiah goes into Hezekiah. And the word says that Hezekiah was sick. And the prophet comes in. This doesn't sound like a word you don't want a prophet to come in with. But the prophet comes in and he says, you're going to die. And he says, and you are not going to recover. Thus says the word of the Lord. Walks out. I bet he wasn't shouting and praising then. But the word says that Hezekiah turned his face to the wall and he edited the story. He said, Lord God, remember how I have kept your word. Remember how I have walked wholeheartedly before you. And God says, hang on, edit's coming. The word says that Isaiah gets to the middle of the court and God speaks to him and says, stop right where you are, turn around, go back and tell him I'm giving him 15 more years and he's going to accomplish everything that he didn't accomplish the entire life that he's lived up to this point. Hezekiah's faith edited the story. He had to think differently according to the love, the blessing, the favor, the wisdom. We've got to think, how blessed are we? How chosen are we? How powerfully present is God with us today, right here, right now? Who is Christ within me? Let me reveal the glory of God. I hear it. It's happening. Thus says the word of the Lord, it's taking place. I mean, it'll be reported. From a spiritual perspective, Jesus talked about different things and he gave analogies and parables. And I see it like this. If you will, in the physical, spiritual world, I see things changing. I see theaters filled with a message about the kingdom of God. And here's why. Because the kingdom of God rules. Not just because Christians want to make movies like the world does, but Christians want to reveal the kingdom of God in its authority and in its power. And not in a prequel, but in a right now news. You know how news is spelled? How is news spelled, Steve? Nope. And what is that? New. It's new. At the top of the hour. Steve's been he's been here a long time. I wouldn't do it to you. You're too big. News. News. Jesus said, tell the good news. News. Something new. Tell me me new. Tell me me in the way I'm revealed to you. I told them me, and then Paul told them me, and then John told me, and it went on. And then Billy Graham told them me. And Oral Roberts told them me. And then Gary Zamora told them me. Not a prequel, a revelation, news. The good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, I can hear it. Theaters open earlier and close later because people are flocking in and they just have to. The blockbuster is the kingdom of God. And everybody's thrilled because everybody's getting a piece of the blessing of the kingdom of God. When the righteous are in rule, the people rejoice. Can you hear it with me? Churches change. They stop looking for the flowers and the leaves, and they start looking for the fruit. They start calling for pollination. Let the bees come in. They don't have to like you, and bees don't like you. I know there are people that can handle them, but bees don't like you. If you don't believe me, poke one. It'll tell you, I don't like you. I don't want you to touch me. I don't want you around me. But they don't have to like you to help you. They help you just because they're hungry. They come to feed themselves, eat the nectar of your flowers and the pollen of your flowers. You need that pollen. You need that nectar. And they're taking it. But God says, I've got this covered. I've set everything in order. They just don't know to doubt God. They just know to do what they're created to do. And when they do, it blesses you. And when you do what you're created to do, you're going to be blessed and you're going to bless everybody else. We have to stop living like what is isn't. So the headlines are different. So imagine there's a church, big church, little church, your imagination. There's a news reporter out there. And there's your misery, there's your pain, there's your sorrow, there's your sadness, there's your disappointment, there's your old sin life. Well, the devil's even there. And all of this, and the devil walks out and the reporter says something like, we're here to just take interviews. And they interview the devil. And he just comes out and they say, "Sir, tell us how it went in there." He said, "Not good at all." "What do you mean?" "No one gave me a front row seat. I was ignored the entire service. There wasn't one song that brought me up. In the message, the preacher never talked about me one single time. I felt unwelcome, ignored. I just want you to tell the pastor, I'm waiting here to tell him myself, I'm not coming back." We have to rethink the way we believe and we tell the story. Jesus has to be the song. The glory of God has to be the theme. The body of Christ has to be the vessel. And our faith has to be the time. This is the greatest season of your lives. Father, we worship you. Let the carnal mind say, "They don't listen to me anymore. When I try to make sense, they say it's nonsense." And they keep doing things that I can't imagine, exceeding, abundant, and beyond. They've learned to believe. I don't feel like I'm leading. I feel like I'm following. They've taken dominion over me. God's called you to walk in real dominionative power, not because you're trying to, but just because Jesus is Lord. And when you follow Him, that's the outcome. Jesus lords it over all. In all and through all, to God be the glory, the honor, the praise, and the power now and forevermore. How could you not do what God has called you to do? How could you not increase in all things? How could you do it, though, if you didn't know what it meant to pour yourself out and rejoice and smile and laugh and praise God for it and say, "No matter who says what about me, I'll serve God. I'll change my mind. I'll change my heart. I'll change my ways. I'll do anything that God wants. All I want to know is the fullness of Christ in me." What would God not give you? Just do and believe what you do and do what you believe. How could your creativity not expound? How could it not blossom? How could it not be seeds pollinated all over whatever field you walk in and places you've never even been? You'll do. How could it not be? How could it not be? Made a commitment in your heart and said, "I'll stand and believe to the end of my days." And the Lord knows your heart. If living by faith is what I'm doing, then what I'm doing is living by faith. And watch what your faith will do. See what will happen. See what will take place. See. See, God presents to us scenarios that are different. Do you understand? You have to rethink the world. You have to rethink. You know, you think, "God, why isn't it like this? And why isn't it like that? Why isn't it like other businesses? Why isn't it like other churches? Why?" And you know what God has said to me? He says, "Because you wouldn't listen to me like you do." You got to rethink how you tell the story. If you're doing what God is saying, you're saying what God is doing, then you're doing what He called you to do. It's time to rethink how we've been hearing and believing. You have to get hungry. "God, I want your glory more than I want anything else. Just your glory. More than anything else." But you're going to have to rethink the doctrine of distance and tomorrow and someday. And we have to glorify God at all times. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise, woo! His praise will continually be in my mouth. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise will continually, that means there's not room to talk about anything else. His praise. I feel a preach coming on. Come on. Say, His praise will continually be in my mouth. And I will glorify the Lord now and forevermore. And as I do that, I become one with the Father and the Son, just like He called you to be. And then everything is made right. God holds you in the curvature of His hands. If He were to hold His hands out on a rainy day, where rain sets in His palm, that's where He holds you. He has you in the palms of His hands. He's carrying you places you've never been, doing things you've never seen, but He's unctioned you. He's moved you. He's nudged you to believe. Greater. You didn't need to believe greater. Why would you? So what you think is a need has come to serve you, to show you His fullness. You're blessed of God. You're chosen of the Lord. You are the healed. You are the freed. You are the redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. But you have to believe. It's time. It's time to rethink how we believe and how we tell the story. We have to give God all the glory, all the glory. Stop talking, and it's great to witness about where we came from, we're delivered, but where are we today? What is God saying today? What am I expecting today? How is Christ going to show up in a new thing? The news is you living by faith. If you believe it, stand to your feet with me. Father, we give You praise. We worship You. I thank You for what You've done in the hearts of every person that hears and believes the word today, 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 today. This is the day You have made. I rejoice in You, Lord God. I am glad. In You, Lord God, I am glad. In You, Lord God, I am glad. I rejoice in You. I rejoice in You. I rejoice in You. Chelsea, I rejoice in the freedom in your spirit, in your mind, and in your body. I rejoice with you in the name of the Lord for what God has done in you today. Be free. Be whole. Be well. Be not afraid. Be joyful in the Lord. In Jesus' name. Today is important. Today is the day.